Blog Talk Radio.
Audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
In most factions of this society, you will rarely hear the terms spiritual and sexual expressed in the same sentence. For many in this country with prudish puritanical roots, those two concepts are diametrically opposed to one another. But in many cultures in the far eastern locations of the globe, as well as the Middle East and parts of Europe, there is a philosophy of eroticism that promotes monogamy, fantastic sex, and an underlying spiritual basis all wrapped up in one. To those familiar with this philosophy, it is known as Tantra. Do you believe that being sexual with someone is synonymous with being intimate with them? If you're a firm believer in tantric principles, considering those two terms one in the same would be a huge mistake. If you're a man, have you ever experienced an orgasm without ejaculating? That's akin to asking a member of my gender, have you ever experienced complete job satisfaction in their career without cashing a paycheck? There are two women with me tonight who are here to provide with us an introductory crash course, if you will, about the basic principles of Tantra and sacred intimate sexuality. They will enlighten us to new concepts regarding taking our sex lives and love lives to new heights never experienced before. Just who are these two young ladies I speak of? One is a certified Tantra educator, and the other is an holistic life expert. And together they will share their knowledge, wisdom, and expertise with you, the listener. Their names? Gina Alzadi and Karen Armstrong. And right now, get out your pens and notepads as these two very intelligent and articulate women are about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo! Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. Happy New Year to all of my loyal and supportive listeners, fellow hosts and colleagues on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, January 8th. And I am ready to start off a new calendar year of informative and entertaining interviews with new and exciting guests on my show. Quick plug for the next couple of weeks. Next Thursday, I will be interviewing an intelligent and talented young lady who grew up in my hometown of Gary, Indiana. She is a family physician and a certified clinical sexologist by the name of Dr. Rachel Ross. And she has her own site, drrachel.com, and she will be with me to discuss, is today's methods of sex education working with our teenagers and young adults? So this will be a show, even though we'll be talking about sex, if you want to, if you have some teenagers, say 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, invite them to listen, because we will be talking about our today's sex education in high schools, junior high schools, colleges. Is it effective? Is it working with our teenagers and young adults? Then the following week, I will have none other than legendary adult film actress Nina Hartley. Now, don't act like you don't know who Nina Hartley is, especially if you're a male. If you're a male, don't even try to act like you don't know who Nina Hartley is, because you know you was choking that chicken watching Nina Hartley. She's a legendary porn actress, adult film actress, and I'm going to have her on the show in 2 weeks, and I look forward to that. She's now branched out from simply being an actress in the adult film industry. She's now she lectures, she does public speaking engagements, she does personal consulting for individuals and couples, and she's a book author. She has a book entitled Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex. So I look forward to that being a great episode, a great, great episode. So yes, indeed,
Dr. Rachel next week, and then Nina Hartley the following week. Now, you know I got to give much love to my chat room. I love all my listeners, but in particular, always I give props to my listeners in my chat room. We got Adriana Turner in the chat room, Hikamo in the chat room. I got one of my guests tonight. She's in the chat room. Got Sexology Magazine, Mrs. Conscious, BH, Down South Georgia Girl in the Hills, Hypert, my main man, Dr. Kernan is in the house. Ghetto always keeps it real, man. Now, would you think with a username like Ghetto, he not going to keep it real? That brother always keeps it real, don't have a phony bone in his body. Pretty Cat is in the house. Meow. Curvy Queen. Roland, a.k.a. Truvu Radio. T. Reed is in the house. My main man, Purpose One from Houston. My loyal and good friend, Adrian. Adrian says she mad at me because of all the females I know, Adrian, she lives in Columbus. She's the biggest sports fan of any female I know. And she said, Alan, how dare you have a show with the BCS championship happening tonight? And so I appreciate her coming to listen to the show, even though the BCS championship is right now, the score is tied. Florida and Oklahoma is tied 7-7. Khalifa is in the house, a new acquaintance of mine. Got my broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. He is in the chat room. That's my older brother, Mo Blue, just stepped in the house. And we are going to get things rolling in just a second. As you can tell, they made some changes on the Blog Talk Radio Network site. Now, honestly, some I'm cool with, some I'm cool with. Other changes, I'm not so cool with. And, you know, I've been kind of outspoken, and they've been telling me, you know, Alan, you know, we really need you to, you know, just chill out with your criticisms and complaints. You know, 2009, this is a new year. We're going with a new site. So you just need to just chill out, young brother. And so I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to say it's all good. It's all good. I don't run the network. Hey, if they want to make changes to the site, more power to them. On a bad note, have you heard about the riots in Oakland? A young brother got shot by a police officer. He was unarmed. And a police officer, a Caucasian police officer, I think he was Caucasian. Not sure, 100% on that. But anyway, a police officer shot a brother who was unarmed, and now it's caused a Rodney King-like reaction in Oakland. I hope tempers are soothed. I hope everything is worked out over there in Northern California. I would hate to see businesses destroyed, people hurt, but I understand that people are angry, people are upset, and rightfully so. Yeah, I saw the video. Somebody mentioned in the chat room. Yeah, I saw the video on YouTube. Yeah, the cop just pulled out the gun and just shot him. I mean, what's going on, man? Dang, that's just messed up. As I mentioned, my friend Adrian, she's a big football fan. If you care about the National College Football Championship, the score is 7-7, Florida and Oklahoma. They just started the third quarter. You know, I've been teasing, if anybody's a friend of mine on Facebook, I've been just dogging out the Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich for about the last 4 weeks or so. I've just been having so many jabs against him. Well, they finally initiated an impeachment process. They're going to try to impeach him. But he did make his selection for who he wanted to succeed Obama in the Senate from Illinois, and that was Roland Burrs, but he got rejected. We'll see what happens with that. I'll give you further updates in weeks. They did a survey on MySpace and found that MySpace, all the teenagers talk about on MySpace is sex, sex, sex. Sex and violence. Sex and violence. Sex, 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 and then a close second is violence. Now, see, I disagree with that because I have a page on MySpace, and all I talk about is, okay, I ain't going to lie, all I talk about is sex, sex, sex in my book. Sex in my book. So I don't talk about sex and violence on MySpace. I talk about sex in my book. But yeah, that was the survey. And man, does anyone in my chat room, anybody listening to my show, live in a cold weather city? Man, I was traumatized. My brother in the chat room noticed. I opened up my gas and heating bill. Man, it was so high. I need Ed McMahon to say, how high was it? Man, my bill was so high. It was so high that I got a call from my gas and heating company, and they said, Alan, we'd like to inform you that because of your December gas and heating bill, we'll be able to fund college education scholarships for up to 10 inner city young men and women. We're going to give them a full ride scholarship on the basis of your December bill for your gas and heat. That's how high my damn bill was, man. I got to just refinance my house just to pay my December gas and heat bill. But we're not going to talk about heat. We're going to talk about a different type of heat. We're going to talk about some erotic heat, some sexual heat. And I'm getting ready to introduce my guest for the evening. One of my guests resides on the East Coast. She resides in the Philadelphia area, and she is a metaphysician. She specializes in giving men and women holistic advice on holistic living, metaphysical spirituality. She has her own blog talk radio show entitled Holistic Life Designs, and she is completing her PhD in metaphysics at the American Institute of Holistic Theology. And my other guest is a certified educator in the art of shamanic tantra and sacred sexuality, and she resides in the Portland, Oregon region, and she offers men and women intimacy coaching, tantra awakening, shamanic healing, among other services, on behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Upfront and Straightforward. Listeners, give it up for Miss Gina Alzati and Miss Karen Armstrong. What is up, Gina and Karen?
Hey, Alan, are you ready for two of us?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have a threesome tonight. Yes, indeed. Did I hear Karen's voice? Karen, you there?
Yes, you did. Alan, it's Karen here. I think this is so much fun.
Yes.
I really, really, really love the direction that you're going in with your radio show, and you're introducing Dr. Rachel around sex education and whether or not it's up to date, because I will tell you it is not, number one. And number two, MySpace and the kids all on MySpace with regards to sex and violence, they're kind of one and the same, sort of. Violence, when it comes to the violence we have in the world, I believe from a shamanic and a tantric perspective, based on my experience, that it's because of repressed sexual energy. I don't know if Gina will agree with me there, but she may. Gina?
Repressed sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to have to elaborate on that.
Violence and sex, it's first and second chakra activities, and it is brought on by competition, and you know, along with that, with rage and anger, and so you're basically working on the lower chakras, you know, from your roots and your sacral chakra.
Okay, hold on. Now, before I let you get started,
you're
going to be prepared. You got to be prepared for me tonight, because I'm going to ask you questions as if you're talking to an audience of fifth graders. Now, I know there's some people in my listening audience who are savvy and educated, and they're familiar with some of the terms, but I'm going to take the assumption that at least half of my audience is ignorant, as I am. And so my first question would be, what exactly is the significance of auras and chakras, energy fields? What's that all about?
Okay. Gina? A chakra is a major energy center. You're full of energy. Your entire body is full of energy. And so your chakras are your major energy center that goes from the bottom, you know, from your coccyx area, right, to your genital area, all the way to your crown, the top of your head. So every one of those seven chakras operate a certain energy field around the area that they rule. For example, the first chakra will be your root chakra, and so anything in your genitalia area and below your extremities, that would be what that energy field is working with. Then you have your sacral chakra, which is your sexual energy, which is your reproductive organs, you know, around your belly area. And then you have the third chakra, which is in your solar plexus, which then rules your gut, your stomach area, and then you have your heart chakra and your throat chakra. So then now you're going up all the way through the body. And then you have your third eye chakra, which then rules all the between your throat and your third eye or your eyes, right between the eyes. And then you have your crown chakra. So those chakras basically just means major energy centers of the body. The front deals with your emotions, and then the back deals with your will. So a balanced chakra will be having a connection between your emotions and your will alongside your major operating centers. Does that give you a picture?
Man, I didn't know my body was that deep, to be honest.
And that is just like your elevator description of chakras, you know, your 30-second elevator description.
So I got like a penis force field that is like kind of, you know, bringing stuff together, emotions and all that together.
Oh, yeah. And then you talked about energy fields. You have your physical, your body, and then right not too far from it, then you have your emotional, and then you have your mental, and then you have your spiritual field. So they're kind of like, they're not really in clear layers. They are kind of like going on top of one another. But your aura, it really expands about 12 feet away from you. And this is how you can feel. If you are very sensitive to your energy, you can feel a room as soon as you enter it, right? I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever known whether or not there had been a fight or there had been happiness as soon as you enter a space?
Well, it's funny because I tend to nickname that my spider sense. You know, if you're a Spider-Man fan, he got that spider sense where he gets to tingling when he's around some negative stuff happening. And so, like, yeah, usually I'm going to certain, like, nightclubs with my boys, and I'll be like, hey, man, this shit don't feel right. We got to get up out of here. And, you know, I just feel it. So I guess I'm feeling that negative aura, you know, in the nightclub or wherever I may be, huh?
Yeah, well, when you say negative, that is your perception of it.
Well, that's my perception.
Yes.
What it means is that
so
it's
good,
probably
right?
Not the best place for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Karen, going back to this, okay, combining these concepts of chakra with what you were talking about with MySpace, if somebody has repressed sexual energy, that means they need to be boning more, or what's going
on? No, that means that they need to learn how to channel the energy so that it blesses and it awakens their own body rather than keeping it repressed. We're either really, really, really sexually active in this culture, or we're really, really repressed, or we're kind of in between. But I don't know too many people that are really in between or balanced when it comes to sexuality and it comes to sex. And the reason why is because of hormones levels and also because of a lack of education. Parents, I believe, are the ones that are responsible for teaching their children. I don't believe that the schools are responsible for telling their for educating their children when it comes to bridging sexuality with spirituality. We are a Christian-based culture, or we are a repressed-based culture that thinks or is told from a very young age that sex is dirty, sex is wrong, touching ourselves is wrong, sex is not good, you know, we're going to go blind if we masturbate. And really, sex and expressing pleasure and sex in
now,
a
Karen,
really good...
Karen, I got to stop you for a quick second and tell you, I would have been blind like in the fifth grade. I found out about the fifth grade that I want to go blind.
Well, you and about every single man in this culture or in this country or in this world. And I'm going to tell you the reason why is because you were born as cavemen. In your DNA, you have cavemen tendencies. The caveman tendency is to have release and to have sex. Men need sex. It is part of their whole entire DNA.
No,
women,
you're kidding.
Women, whereas women, we choose to have sex. Do we need sex? Yes, I believe we do, but we are not born with the capacity to absolutely having to need sex. We are born with the capacity to bear children and to procreate, just like men's DNA is also into procreating. However, women can learn and can open themselves up to really enjoying and loving and having wonderful, ecstatic, blissful, loving, and heart-centered sex. That's pretty much what we would prefer to have as opposed to, you know, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, kind of stuff.
Let me say this, though. Think about it. This is my perspective.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women will say, oh, you men are so horny. You men always want sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I always use this analogy. Think of the remote control. Now, man took it upon himself to invent this device so that he can change the channel on the television that's actually about probably 2 to 3 feet away from him. What does that tell you? That man is inherently lazy. He don't want to get up off his seat and change the channel. So I think the God or higher power, whatever, had to say to himself, man, I got to make man very, very horny, because otherwise, if I only give them an average degree of horniness, they're going to be so lazy that they won't be able to reproduce the people on the earth, and the earth will cease to exist. So that's why I think we got all this testosterone working for us, and we wake up in the morning with a hard on. Well, I'm assuming all other guys do, because I just usually 75% of the time wake up in the morning like, hello! But I think it's because if we didn't have that extra whatever that makes us perceived as, you know, just needing to bone and bone and bone, we would just be lazy about it.
Well, I disagree with you, okay?
Okay.
I think that one of the keys here is that men are single-focused, whereas most women are very spontaneous and they multitask, okay? So if a woman has, where was I going here? If a man has the remote control, he's single focused. That's all he can do. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with him. It just means that that's the way he was created, right?
Okay.
So,
so you said we focus on one, like, objective or project at a time, and women focus on, like, multiple projects.
Well, yeah, that's what makes you special, and that's what makes us special. You know, when you're hungry, you go straight to the refrigerator to fix yourself something to eat, right? You don't see that, you know, the clothes need to be picked up, you know, the floor needs to be mopped, the trash needs to be taken out. All you see is that you're hungry and you need to go get something to eat. If a woman needs to go to the refrigerator to get something to eat on her way there, she's going to do all these other things in between, and she might get there 3 hours later. It's just the way we're made up as men and women. And that doesn't mean that sex is not sex, from my experience, based on my client base and based on my experience over the last several years, is that men and women have this issue. It's a constant. You know, the men come in, they're not getting enough from their partners or their wives. The women come in and go, my husband wants more sex and I don't feel it. And the reason why is because they're not connecting all of their chakras like Gina talked about earlier. And there's selfish motives on both parts, number one. They just want to release that hormonal drug or whatever, and they don't want to eye gaze, they don't want to take their time, you know, it's scary, communicating about it is very unheard of because they don't know how to, so therefore they get themselves in this chemical kind of reaction based on having sex, where the needs are being met regarding having sex, but everything else is falling apart. Have you ever met somebody where you have such great sexual chemistry with, but nothing else goes very well?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially what leads to casual sex. Because I think most men, and I'm generalizing most men, but generally I find when men only want to have casual sex with a woman, it's because they're connecting with them on a physical and sexual level. But in other areas, such as, you know, that maybe that person's intelligence, sense of humor, social interest, et cetera, they're not really connecting. So they just limit it to a sexual relationship, and they never try to take it to the next level.
Well, either that or they just want to have sex. They're really not interested in connecting on any other different level. That's why we have such a problem with pornography and oftentimes phone sex. I'm not saying anything negative about phone sex, but pornography and phone sex, okay? I'm not saying anything's bad about that, okay? All I'm saying is that that is about casual sex, because usually it's about masturbating or just getting the energy going. It's not about really connecting with another human being. It's about connecting with a TV screen or somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Now, is pornography considered blasphemous to those who are into tantra and sacred sexuality?
No.
Okay.
It's not. What do you do? You know what? When you're a child and you start touching your genitals, your parents tell you not to do that. But you're just doing what comes natural, right?
Right.
Of course, we don't want to be walking, you know, men don't want to be walking on the universe or on the globe just with hard-ons, you know, masturbating in front of everybody and everything, because there are places to do that, right? And women as well. But I'll tell you something, masturbation is not dirty and it's not blasphemy. It's a God-given, you know, body part that we're given. However, you know, when I have men or women that come into my healing space or my counseling space to talk to me about their sexual addictions, I just say to them, next time you have a need or desire to go in that direction, open your heart and be present with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Open your heart and be present with yourself. Nine times out of ten, they can't do that.
No. Okay.
Now,
Gina, let me ask you: How should one think of a connection between spirituality and sexuality?
You know, sexuality is actually a bridge to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that before?
I've heard variations of that. Yeah, and because I find that some more prudish types in society, they don't even want to mention spirituality in the same breath as sexuality. But I noticed that those who are into the tantra way of living, there's definitely a connection. And how, for someone who's ignorant to it, how is there a connection and what is the benefit of that connection?
Okay. As we spoke earlier about chakras, right, your major energy centers, When you are engaged in sexual act in a loving and respectful manner with integrity with your partner, and then you work with connecting not just your genitalia, but being able to look in each other's eyes. Now you're looking into someone's soul when you do that. When you're engaged in where you're literally eye-to-eye contact with someone, you are now engaged in a little bit more intimate. No words needed to be said because now your soul-to-soul connection is beginning to happen. When you're beginning to breathe together and you're sharing the same air exchanges, now you're having a same kind of rhythm, and now you're going into this dance mode. When you're not having to deal with all this linear activity, mind activity, but you're getting into the feelings of it, then now you're engaging also your chakras, right? When you have sounds that you produce together, either you're laughing together, because sometimes when you start to look at each other, it can be funny when you haven't really done that. When you start to make this more of a playtime rather than this seriousness, let's get on, let's get, you know, whatever, and have that sense of intensity, when you can just go in there and relax into each other and you can play with each other, now you're engaging your sacral chakras as well, your reproductive organs, your creative energy,
all that. Let me stop you for a second, Gina. Now, I'm a guy,
uh-huh.
I'm admitted publicly, that likes to, I like to, you know, I'm into erotic pillow talk. I like to talk dirty. Now,
uh-huh.
So are you saying that if I'm into talking dirty, that can actually be detrimental, that I should more so concentrate on proper breathing and eye gazing?
Well,
I don't believe so.
Yeah, you go into a play mode. Now, if you two enjoy that and you're playing, you know, your sexual activity should be fun. You know, none of this seriousness and trying to take yourselves away from the moment. You know, if your pillow talk or dirty talk is in the moment, you're actually then are being present with your partner. If you're having to recall activities from somewhere else and you bring it in, then you're not really being present. The idea is to
exactly.
be present. The idea is to be present with your partner, to literally feel the energy of your partner, and to allow your partner to feel you.
To be
so,
it's like
dance.
Dancing. It's like dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dancing in a nightclub, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know somebody that you connect with from an energetic perspective as opposed to somebody that you don't. Mm. It's a dance between Shiva, the male god, and Shakti, the female goddess. It's both the dance. In other words, it's not about our selfish needs to get off. It's about love making that produces drug making. In other words, with the...
Wait. You said love making that produces drug making?
Yeah.
Well, the effects of drug, of being...
Okay, because I don't want people having sex and producing crack.
No, they won't be. They'll be drunk, or they'll be like on drugs.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Because you can make love. You can literally make love for hours and all night long without even putting your penis into the vagina. And this is a good segue to talk about in tantric sex.
Wait. Okay,
penis,
you're gonna have to excuse me for stopping you at different points. But I always want. I'm trying to absorb all this.
I think
you
we
just
need to
said,
have a
Alan,
one-year radio show here, honey.
You said, Alan, you'll be able to make love all night for 8 hours, and I'm like, yeah. And then you said, without even putting your penis into the vagina. Okay, see, my brain is not comprehending that because.
Okay, I know, and most men's brains can't comprehend that. Okay, and the reason why is because they think that orgasm and ejaculation is something that happens simultaneously. It does not. The orgasm comes before the ejaculation.
The orgasm
okay.
comes before the ejaculation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you saying I can have, as a man, multiple orgasms before I even ejaculate.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
Yep.
And you know what? You'll
are you guys pulling my leg
back.
Now?
Oh, that's the beauty of it, Alan.
That's
and
the beauty of it.
Because what happens, Alan, your lingam or your penis
Oh, wait, that's a new nickname. I never heard that.
Yeah, it's not a nickname. Lingam, L-I-N-G-A-M. Lingam is Sanskrit for sacred / magic wand.
Woo, I like that. I'm taking that and running with it. I got a 50 Cent had the magic stick. Yeah, I got the magic, the sacred, not just the magic wand, the sacred magic wand.
You have a sacred magic wand called a lingam. And you can actually use that lingam of yours
to
bless and to shower and to free your partner to the point of ecstatic bliss so that she becomes more radiant, she becomes healed, she becomes a part of you. But it takes practice, it takes presence, it takes
play.
Also knowing that...
So wait a minute, you said heal, so you saying that if my special woman, say she's stressed out or she might have like a headache or something, I can let her play with my lingam and my magic stick, and she'll be like, "Ooh, Alan, my headache is gone. Am I
No,
stressed?
It's not. It's not about you. It's not about you. Okay,
it's about her.
It's about her. Okay,
it's about her. Oh, I was being selfish.
You don't let her play with your wand. What you do is you bless her with your sexual energy and your maleness and your presence. Okay. Oftentimes, you can. You know, us women, we're fickle, right? And yes, we say we have a headache, but it's because we don't want to have sex. And most of the reasons why we don't want to have sex is because you guys may just want to get it up, get it in, and get it off. We like things to be a dance. We're complicated as
That's an understatement of the century.
Yeah. But you know what? Once men learn that they can actually bless their women with their lingams entering their sacred space or yoni with the intention of...
So yoni and punani are the same thing.
No, yoni is Sanskrit for sacred temple.
But that's the vagina, right?
That's the vagina.
Okay.
Doesn't it sound better? I want your lingam in my yoni. Doesn't that sound better than I want your penis in my vagina?
Oh yeah, that's too clinical. Penis.
I want your cock inside my cunt. Right? I want your cock inside my cunt rather than.
Oh no, I never use the C word. But yeah, okay. I'm feeling the lingam in the yoni. Okay.
Right. It's lingam has a
bond in the temple.
The magic wand in the temple, the sacred wand in the temple. You have all the control. You guys are our healers. You guys are our men. You guys are our blessing, okay? It's just a matter of how you approach it. I can't even tell you how many times I'm like, I don't have a headache. I don't feel like having sex. You know, I am not in the mood or whatever. Well, with the proper or the way that somebody approaches me in a very loving, present way, you know, I may get there. But you know what? It's okay to have a soft on and not have sex. It's okay to make love without having to have without having a soft on.
Gina, a hard on.
I was going to say, Gina, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Gina, talk about a soft on.
I don't know.
What's up with the soft on?
Oh, sorry.
Because most men ain't feeling the soft on.
I'm putting you on the spot there, Gina.
I know you are. That's okay.
Okay, so you know what? A soft on is just a man without an erection, that's all.
Well, yeah, I kind of surmised that. I don't know too many men who would be enthusiastic about doing anything erotic with a soft on, because you got Viagra, Cialis, all that stuff to avoid the soft on. And
well, you know what, Alan? I don't believe in Viagra and I don't believe in Cialis, because if you can't get a hard on, then there's something wrong or there's something off balance within your body from a spiritual perspective.
Okay, well, now that you mention that, do you think if more men learn the true meaning of genuine intimacy as to be distinguished from just, you know, sex, as you talked about, just getting it up, getting it in, and getting it out, that they would have less incidences of sexual dysfunction?
They would have less incidences of sexual dysfunction, and they would be very, very particular about the women that they're with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing, though, Alan, is when they can relax, then they can enjoy it more. It is supposed to be like having a valley orgasm rather than having a peak orgasm. Do I need to go into that further?
A valley orgasm and a peak orgasm. Okay, yeah, go into that a little bit further, Gina.
Okay. The way that we know in this culture and how to have orgasm is basically to have such an intensity about it, right? There's a lot of acrobatics going on and all this, just this tension that goes on in this sexual act. And then it's almost like there is a need to get to the end point, okay? And then if the end point did not get achieved, then it becomes a satisfying event for both. In the other way, in tantric sex, when you go in, when you're not having a sense of goal, you're being with one another. That is the means, that is the end in itself. You're not having this like, okay, I must achieve ejaculation, I must do this. There's no such thing as must. The idea is to go into this relaxing mode so that you can relax with one another and share that space and just have that wonderful essence and being able to connect at a soul level rather than just this physical skin to skin and then be done with. So when you go into this valley orgasm, then this is when you recycle basically that life force because you are not achieving that ejaculation. You're just having this prolonged way.
Let me start you for a second. I got to play the ignorant fifth grader. What do you mean recycle the life force? What does that mean?
Well, I can speak to that a little bit. Okay, so how many men that are on the phone here, and I'm in the chat room, but I can't get in there. How many men make love, have sex, and just go to sleep right away?
Oh, I'm sure a number of them, yeah.
Right. Well, you know why?
Why?
They're giving their life force energy to the woman. That's why the woman stays up all night and can't sleep. So when you recirculate your creative life force energy or that orgasmic energy into your body, you literally don't have to have a release except for maybe once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks, or whenever you feel like blessing and gifting a woman with it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you say it again.
And you will have orgasms that are like, ah,
happy singing, huh?
That go on forever instead of just like,
So once again, an orgasm is totally different from ejaculating.
Yep. Yes. It's a scientific proven fact.
Orgasm is just what? Like kind of a feeling, a sense, or I mean experience? I mean, how do I know when I'm having an orgasm without ejaculating?
It is when your body is vibrating, Alan, when your body is already vibrating.
Your whole body is shaking. You're like freaked out because you don't know what's going on. You're hot. You're starting to see mystical things. Your hands are tingling. Your whole body is tingling.
Okay,
and
how will I know between a heart attack and what you just described?
Well, you'll have to experience that.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take a little break, but we're going to definitely come back and talk to these two interesting and enlightening young ladies. But right now, as I always do, I'm going to take about a 3-minute intermission break so that the two ladies can get a swig of water. But listeners, we'll be right back. If you have a question or comment, you can call in. It is 646-478-5710. Again, it's 646-478-5710. I will be back to talk with Gina and Karen and also take your calls right after this.
Do you want to let loose?
Yep.
Do you want to vent on the issues?
All the time.
Do you want to express your views?
Yes, sir.
Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L.,
okay,
inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show.
That's what's up.
Real life, real issues, real talk,
okay,
uncensored. Join me on the SON Networks Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off.
I'm there.
Come join us on Sound Off Now, where nothing is off limits.
That's what's up.
www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
Available at McClendonReport.com. How to find a good black man. 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 Available at McClendonReport.com.
In the history of this show.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that. Okay, I'm going to give you another chance with the... Say, Mode One. Oh, hey, chat room, how did she do on that one? Did she do okay on that Mode One? Because that first one was, that I have to be honest, that first one was kind of weak.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with Gina Alzati and Karen Armstrong as they provide us with a brief introduction to tantric sex and spiritual intimacy on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is the first show of the calendar year 2009. Now, it's scheduled for an hour and a half, but if these ladies don't mind, we're in such a flow, it might end up going a little beyond that because I have so many questions, and I'm taking notes as I'm asking questions because I learned that I can have sex for about 8 hours before I even put my lingam in the yoni. Ain't that something, listeners? Okay, now Gina and Karen, how does, this might be kind of a goofy question, simplistic question, but I'm asking anyway. How does a man or woman, and particularly a man, because we're thought to be the less romantic of the two genders, how does a man know when he's truly in love with his partner versus being simply physically or sexually infatuated by his partner?
Well, I think you need to ask a man that's a listener on this program that mm-hmm. question, because I'm a woman and Gina's a woman.
Okay. And,
reverse the question to Alan.
Okay, well, let me ask you two, as a woman, how do you know when you're in love with a man versus you just want some good lingam?
You know what? That's a good question, because I've spent all my life thinking that every lingam that got in me was somebody I was in love with. So it's a complicated matter when it comes to women, because we give sex to get love. Men give sex to get – they give love to get sex. So I think it has to do with you know, I truly believe, and I'm not as evolved as this, I'll be extremely honest with you, but I believe that the younger generation nowadays can have lots of lovers and be in love with everybody and have open relationships. I am not in that place, because I think monogamy can be extremely powerful and extremely challenging at the same time. How do I know I'm in love with somebody? Mm-hmm. Well, if I have a great lover, I'm going to be in love with myself, my body, with life. I'm going to radiate. And I could very well project that onto him, thinking that I am in love with him when really I'm not, because we don't have anything in common.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Gina, let me ask you, is I had a show actually last year, one of my most listened to shows actually, about interviewed a young lady named Hot Honey, where she runs a adult social club in Chicago, which emphasizes, you know, couple swapping, open relationships, polyamorous dating. As I asked you women earlier, is pornography blasphemous to someone who's into tantra? Is the idea of an open relationship, is that totally contradictory and blasphemous to someone who's into tantra?
You know, well, like what Karen was saying about monogamy, when you are into casual sex, you have to, there's a tendency for people to be less than honest.
Yes.
About things, like there's a hiding factor to it. Mm-hmm. It's not like they become real immediately, right? Because, you know, it's just one night, or maybe this is just a moment. So already, because love is not there, they will not get to that level of vibration that they would, that we were talking about, an all full body expression, vibration, or even outside of yourself vibration. It would just be a genitalia. That's all it is. And then they would, you know, there will be a tendency for them to feel empty, because it never reached their heart. There was no connection there. So if that is what satisfies them, then, you know, to each his or her own, right?
Yeah, I guess
there will be a heart connection there. And if they feel empty afterwards, it would be because they have given their life force away to somebody that they do not even probably know that well, because there is a lot of hidden that comes into it. And then there is also a danger of sharing your energy field with people that you do not know, because there is a tendency for you to pick up their whatever is hanging around them, not just physical, not just the things that we think about, you know, like sexual transmitted diseases. No, there might even be attached energies to that person that now you will take with you. And so there needs to be a sense of discernment when you engage in any kind of sexual activity.
Now, Karen, you mentioned earlier about when one's a man can bless a woman with his, you know,
lingam and his life force energy.
And you mentioned, I think, something about healing. I was going to ask, do you think great sex, and particularly great tantric sex, can be act as almost a natural medicine for things like relieving stress and anxiety?
Absolutely.
That is what it's all about.
That's all about.
Yes.
You know, it's not about me. It's not about me getting my feelings or my hormones off. It's about conscious loving and conscious living. It's about soulful loving and soulful living. Once you've experienced tantric sex with a partner who's truly present and you can actually look into their eyes and exchange energy from soul to soul, you will not want to go back to regular, you know, get it up, get it off, and get it in. Get it up, get it in, and get it off, right? And even
are you
women.
Saying once I was experienced 2 or 3 weeks of tantric sex, I would look at conventional sex as just a downer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to speak to the women. Can I speak to the women here?
Speak to the women, please. Speak
okay. You know, women, I just want to share with the women that I think you know what I'm talking about, maybe not, but, you know, all of us as women, including myself, have given up parts of ourselves to have sex or for sex, okay, when we really didn't want to have sex. And the reason why is because we know that that's what you guys want, right? And so we think that we're going to get what we want if we give you what you want, because here we go again. We're back to the caveman, cavewoman mentality. The cavewoman doesn't want to displease, and they want to please. So we're pretty screwed up either way, right? We don't want to displease our man. We don't want, and we want to please them. So we're kind of confused, okay? So oftentimes we have sex when we don't really want to have sex, because we want to please you guys, right?
Now, to be fair, though, there's a lot of men in the country who go with their women shopping for draperies and stuff, and they really don't want to do that, but they
well,
want to
I agree.
Please their
I agree.
Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. It works both ways, but we don't know how to communicate with each other, Alan.
But I agree with the point where you're headed, because there was a survey that came out like a year or two ago, and it was really kind of, at least for me, surprising. It said that roughly 75% of all women in relationships are, to one degree or another, dissatisfied with this. They don't feel like they're having the best sex that they could be having. And I was like, wow, does that mean just men ain't putting it down? Or I guess what you two are saying is that not enough men are having tantric sex with their partners, huh?
Well, it's not having it, not knowing how to, or maybe not even knowing what it is.
Yeah, see, that's me, because honestly, you know, I would say up until recently, I was totally into, to this day, I'm still, to a large degree, ignorant. To the first time I even heard the term was I was reading an interview about both Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, two actors I'm sure you
oh, and
are,
also maybe. Probably Sting.
Well, I didn't read about him in regards to tantric, but I'm sure he's probably into that too. But the two people I first heard about that were into it, because they were doing a movie together, Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, and they were asking about different things. And both of them happened to mention that they were practicing tantric sex. And what caught my eye was that, just like you've been talking about, how you can have an orgasm without ejaculating, Wesley Snipes mentioned that he said, yeah, since I had tantric sex, I've only actually came once in the last month. And the interviewer was like, explain that. He's like, yeah, I've had sex like probably like 20 times. But I've only came like one time. I was like, okay, that's either some really crazy stuff or it's just beyond my level of comprehension at the time, because I couldn't even fathom what that meant to have sex 20 times and only come once.
Okay, I'm gonna address that real quickly, and then, Gina, I'm going to let you take over for about 10 minutes. I have to, anyway, I've got something I need to take care of here. Is that okay?
I'm flexible, Karen. You can do what you got to do for 10 minutes, but just make
okay,
sure
awesome.
Back.
But I wanted to address that. There are lots of men that are in their 70s, maybe middle 70s. They are extremely successful, powerful, creative men that have manifested great abundance in their lives. And they look like they're in their 50s. And the reason why is because they have learned this concept of recycling your creative life energy rather than giving it all away and using it as a release to get yourself off. Gina, it's yours.
Hey, Karen, real quick before you leave, though.
Yeah.
Even though
okay.
I know you're coming back.
No, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back.
Well, I'll wait till you come back. I'll wait till you come back. Go ahead. Okay, Gina, go ahead.
Well, you have a series of questions for me, I'm sure, going ahead.
Okay, well, what is a, first of all, getting just away from sex for a second and just going into kind of metaphysical stuff I've read about.
Okay.
I've read this term called quantum metaphysical spirituality. What is that?
Well, right now, it is trying to combine science with spirituality, with healing. And there was a time when people talk about spirituality and metaphysics, you know, it's basically put in this corner over here because it's a little strange. There are no data that we can bring out to support any information, whether or not any of these healing modalities work, whether or not prayers work, whether or not Reiki energy or whatever works. But what's happening is there are so many energy healing experiments coming out now that is supporting what the clients are saying that these modalities are working. So it is now the melding basically of science and spirituality.
Okay, Jeannie, you gotta talk to me like I'm a fifth grader. What's a modality?
A modality is just a.
Somebody got dogs.
That's what she had to take care of.
Oh, she taking care of a little dog. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We act like the doggies are not barking. But okay, you were saying modalities are what now?
Modality is a mode. It's a mode of healing.
Oh, I'm about mode. Mode. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. You have four modalities, right?
Yeah. See, somebody already said modality one. Now, matter of fact, when Karen gets back, I'm going to have both of you, I want you together to say, my one. But we'll wait on that. But, okay, you were explaining about it, quantum metaphysical spirituality combines science and modalities and
science and metaphysics and spirituality.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And right now, as more and more experiments and information is becoming data, where people want to show me the that works. So now hospitals and hospice centers, they are using Reiki, which is an energy work. When they use it in the kind of like recovery or in surgical procedures or whatever, then they're finding that it actually helps the clients or the patients. So there are more information, but that would be another show, Alan.
Okay, yeah, we don't want to get too much away from. Okay, I read something called the orgasmic reflex exercise. You familiar with that?
Okay, the orgasmic reflex exercise, and that is something that you can do. You talk about how do you separate orgasm from ejaculation? Well, that. The practice, that is what you can do. If you've never done this, then you can really use that to either help prolong lovemaking or for people who do who gets to have a pre-ejaculation, this is an exercise that they use to slow it down. And this is the kind of thing that how you can stop yourself from ejaculating, really.
Now, you know, by the way, them dogs is barking. I think them little motherfuckers need some tantric sex or something. Yeah, I think they've been doing that conventional doggy style or something. They need to just, you know, try to, like, just, you know, be having sex without having sex, without coming. Shit, them little barking rascals. Okay, now, so you and Karen definitely believe that the tantric sex way can strengthen a man and woman's their connection, their intimacy. Is that what, in your opinion, in your observation, do you think that's what's missing in a lot of couples' relationship is true, genuine intimacy?
You know, I don't have any data to support that.
Okay.
Right? I mean, if you're, so to speak.
Well, I just said, in your opinion, just based on your just observing couples,
but,
interacting with
what
them.
From what I have seen and what I have experienced, the lack of intimacy does become a barrier. It wedges people to get closer together. Now, sure, you know, you have this genital sex that they can engage in, but if you want more than that and you cannot communicate, there is no intimate moments between you. And when I say intimate moments, I'm talking about just, you know, skin to skin, but actually being there, intellectual even, and emotional. When you don't even share the same value, when there is not a sense of commonality that you can work with or be able to go into the same path, then there is a wedge. And when you have a wedge between you, that already is a beginning of a gap to separate you.
Now, seeing that tantric is all about combining sexuality with spirituality, can someone who's, say, an atheist or agnostic, can they practice tantric sex?
No, tantra is not religious based. It has no religion, basically. It is a technique. It is a way of life. It is not a ritual that is mandated by some organized group that has religion as a center point. So it is something that has been passed on by thousands of years, that these are the kinds of techniques that work in being able to have a wonderful relationship with one another, from physical to emotional to mental and spiritual levels. So that is what tantra is. It is a series of what can they do to breathe together, what can they do to look at each other's eyes and be able to connect soul to soul. And what is the principle about this whole thing, about honoring one's body and honoring not only what you put in your body, but who you allow in your energy fields? That is the kind of, you know, that is what tantra is. It is not a religion. So
let's take in the attitude of this as being a kind of a crash course, Tantra 101. Let's say I'm right now just started a relationship, and all I've been having is conventional sex. What would be my very first step to converting from conventional sex to Tantra sex? What's the very first thing I need to do?
Probably stop.
Stop having sex?
Well, you know, when I say stop, it's like start over, okay?
So I need to start over.
And start over from a beautiful, you know, approach it from a beautiful standpoint of building a nice relationship, because then that becomes the three of you, right? You and this person, and then whatever you two are building together. If you got right into the sexuality of it, and conventional sex at that, you haven't really even connected, have you? I mean, you haven't connected each other's hopes and dreams. You haven't connected love. You haven't really connected. So
okay, let me ask you something, because, you know, they say guys, they tend to be concerned about their size. Is penis size, is that important in tantric sex?
You know that there are many positions that compensate for any kind of sizes, right? a woman's depth, you know, a woman's vagina is depth, and the size of a penis, there are varieties of positions, and there are variety of ways that you can compensate for the size itself. But then once you are engaged in a soul-to-soul connection, you don't really even pay attention to your bodies that way.
Really?
You are now energy to energy.
It's energy to energy. So
yeah.
Wait a minute. You telling me that if a man got like a 3-inch lingam and he with a woman that's like 350 pounds, that they both going to ignore each other's flaws and weaknesses because they're just going to be into the whole energy and that soulmate connection type deal.
Well, you are basically then limiting that the whole sexual experience is only centered on the genitalia, correct? I mean, that is basically...
So you're saying, in essence, that's the first mistake with Tantra is you need to de-emphasize the genitalia.
Yeah, I mean, it is there. It is part of the whole thing. But the deal is the whole body. Okay, if you cannot even talk to the person you're with, already you have a disconnect intellectually, right? Mental connection would be somehow affected. You might not be vibrating correctly. You won't see eye to eye in many things. So you need to take a look at the whole body.
But I got to keep it real. You know, a lot of men, and I'm speaking for a lot of brothers, brothers, you know, They look at a woman, they say, dang, you know, she got a nice ass, man. She got some nice tits. And I can't imagine a lot of brothers saying, well, you know, I don't care about her tits and ass. I just care about the vibrating energies between us. So how does a guy get to the point from point A, which would be like, hey, man, that she got a big fat ass. I want to do her, to point B, where he's like, hey, genitalia and the big, round, juicy ass is relatively unimportant. I just want to connect on a spiritual vibrating level.
Well, first of all, when you immediately go right into the ass, well, you know, there goes your conversation.
I'm back.
You know, black man, we love that booty now. That's just real. And but you said de-emphasize the booty and concentrate on the mental connection.
Well, no, not the mental. It is the whole connection.
The holistic connection.
Yes, it is the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. Tantra is very feelings-based, so it needs to be centered around the heart. If your heart is nowhere in the equation, I don't know, however you look at it, you're not going to have a sense of vibrational satisfaction that you are matching with this person.
Okay, what does that mean when you say vibrational satisfaction?
Well, can I speak to that? I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back. And I told Gina, I said, the way your dogs is barking, I think they need some tantric sex.
Was that my dog? Was that my dog or was that me barking?
Somebody was barking their little heads off. But, so, Karen, how can a man get to a point where he's all about this vibrational? Because, see, I'm trying to come from the perspective as the average layman guy who might say to himself, man, I ain't into all this, like, philosophically, intellectually profound. I just want to have some good sex. So if you were trying to modify that guy's thought process and get him to see that there's a better way, how can you get him to quit concentrating on just like TNA and start talking about things like vibrational satisfaction?
That is a great question. So I'm going to put it back to you, Alan, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Ask me a question, Karen.
When in your life have you ever been moved to tears?
Moved to tears?
I'm not talking about sex. I'm just in your life.
Okay. When the Bulls, that first year after Jordan retired, the Bulls should have beat the Knicks. And when that damn referee called that foul on Scottie Pippen, man, I ain't going to lie. I was crying my little ass off. I was like, that motherfucker, man, that was not a foul. And I was crying. So, yeah, man, when my favorite sports team loses, I ain't going to lie. You know, I tell my boys, you know, that, well, half of them, they cry too, you know.
Okay, Alan, let me ask you this. Do you have kids?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you have, there's got to be a time in your life where you felt like your heart was really open and there was some sort of sentiment or some sort of emotional connection with something, some person, some place?
Well, I'm going to be honest. The most crying I did in the last year, and I talked about this on a couple shows ago, I lost my mom in early December of 2007, and that really shook my world. I cried pretty much every day for about 2 weeks.
Okay. And, your heart was open.
Yeah, I mean, there's no woman in my life, and I know you can't compare a mother to, say, like a girlfriend or something, but there's no woman in my life that meant as much to me as my mom. And so, yeah, it was hard for me to get over that. It's still, actually, at different times, you know, it's challenging. But, yeah, to answer your question simply, yeah, my heart was very full, very open around the time my mother passed away.
Right. Well, that is the space that we want to engage in tantric sex.
Oh.
When your heart is open.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a lot harder for men to open their hearts than it is for women. But men can open their hearts.
Oh, well, I mean, I've seen men. Now, there seems to be this misconception that women are more emotional and men, you know, we're kind of, I don't know, callous or whatever. I've seen some of my boys get really messed up over some women, that they felt like they got dogged out, woman, you know, dumped them for another guy, whatever. I've had to really console, you know, over the years, at least two or three of my buddies, because they were, man, it jacked up them emotionally. So, I mean, guys get hurt, too, you know, in relationships.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about hurt, right? I'm talking about two people engaging in a space of opening their hearts to be able to love the woman that they're with, regardless of who they are, what they look like. They're just a goddess.
Well, see, here's my thing, Karen, and so you're gonna laugh and think I'm saying this jokingly, but the only woman I can truly open my heart with is a woman who can cook chicken wings. That's a major thing with me. You know, if a woman can't make chicken wings, ain't no heart being open, ain't no lingam being given. She gotta be able to cut me some chicken wings, and then my heart will open like the Red Sea for Moses. That's what's up with Allen Roger Curry. Hey, ladies, before we move on to another question, Gina is aware of this, but I don't know if you are so much, Karen, but pretty much almost every show, I have a book out called Mold One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And the title of my book has evolved to a chant of Mode One. And so anytime I have a guest on, I ask them to say Mode One. And this will be unique because I got two guests at the same time. So I want you two, to the best of your ability, at the same time, to say Mode One.
All righty. One, two, three. Mode One.
Allen Roger Curry.
You're up front and straight forward.
Allen Roger Curry.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you for that. I like that unison Mode One. So, okay, now we were talking about opening up my heart, and that's when I can get to that place where I'm not caring about the superficial stuff, that I'm just into the connection. And
it's about being clear about what you want. If all you want is slam bam, thank you, man, that's okay. But you know what? When girls get hurt and when guys get hurt, it's when we're not honest about that, right?
Yeah.
If you can just say, you know, I challenge you, Alan, next time you want to have sex and you just want to have sex, you just tell the girl, you know what, I just want to have sex. I just want to have sex. I want to do slam bam, thank you, ma'am. Let's have some good old time.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because actually that's what my book is about. Mode One, the reason why I wrote Mode One is because I saw a lot of guys, I should say a lot, but quite a few guys doing this misleading, manipulative thing where, and I'm sure you two have had guys do this or seen guys do this, where guys will pretend like they want a long-term, meaningful, monogamous relationship, when in actuality they just wanted casual sex.
Well, so they would fool
these women, get them into bed, and then once they bone them, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 times, they just dump them unceremoniously. And so my book essentially is telling men who fit into that category to just have the balls to be upfront and straightforward, and that's where the title of this show comes from, Upfront and Straightforward, to be upfront and straightforward about your true sexual desires, interests, and intentions. So in a nutshell, yes, that's how I've operated for most of my adult life. Typically, when I interact with a woman and I know I just want casual sex, I've let that woman know that I just want casual. Now, sometimes you can't predict. Now, I've had some situations where I met a woman, and when I first met her, I thought it was going to be something casual, but we ended up having something long-term, then vice versa. Sometimes I met a woman, I said, oh, she's special. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to date her. She can't cook chicken wings. And so,
Well, maybe you should teach her how to cook chicken wings.
Oh, now responsibility on me. Now I got to teach her how to cook chicken.
Yeah, how you want it.
Ain't that something, man? I always got to come back to the man. Ain't that something? Now, let me ask you this about our country. Do you think Americans are, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of behind the eight ball when it comes to concepts such as Tantra and Kama Sutra and other philosophies about eroticism that seem to have originated in Eastern and European countries?
There's less than 1% of the whole entire U.S. that knows anything about tantric sex or even wants to go down that road. Because they have to be present and they have to look into each other's eyes.
And we are in a fast mode pace here, and this requires slowing down and being able to enjoy the moment.
Slowing down and enjoying the moment.
Interesting concept, huh?
Yeah, well, I like the idea of slow. A woman, I said this on another show. I think you might have been in the chat room, Gina, where I said that an older woman taught me when I was young, because I used to be all about just, you know, getting in the bedroom and going into jackhammer mode. And the key word she taught me was, you got to be slow. You got to be slow. Everything was slow. And so I learned from that, how to have better foreplay and be slow and rhythmic. The call just dropped off. I saw a call coming in. Well, I was going to take a call. Now, Karen, you seem to take a little lighthearted jab. Well, maybe I misperceived you as when you said something about phone sex. I was going to ask you a lighthearted question. Is there any such thing as tantric phone sex or tantric masturbation?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess you couldn't look in nobody's eyes.
This is my personal opinion, okay? Tantra is about alchemy and two people coming together, no matter what they look like or, you know, whether there's chemistry or not, coming together to create a oneness in order to explore mystical realms with their sexual energy, okay? So I don't know how you can do that with a phone. You know, you can try it. I don't think you can get that up your you-know-what, right?
Yeah. Well, actually,
and, you know, this is another thing that I wanted to share with you, because when I came back on the phone, you guys were talking about the booty, right?
The booty.
Well, I'm digressing here a little bit, because you know what? There are some women out there that enjoy anal sex, or they enjoy some sort of real gentle manipulation of that area. And there are a lot of men, believe it or not, that really, really, really enjoy anal play. There are
Call those men down low brothers.
Well, they might be download brothers, but you know
what?
No,
I'm teasing. I'm sure there could be some straight heterosexual men who like.
There's a lot of straight heterosexual men that love anal play, but tantric sex can come into anal play, and it can be done with a heart-centered energy. In fact, do you know why prostate cancer is on the rise? And do you
I've
know
heard
where
that.
The male? Do you know where male prostate is? And do you know the easy access to it?
Do I have easy access to my prostate?
No. Do you know how to have easy access to the prostate? Do you know where a doctor checks?
Yeah, I have a female doctor. She just slid her finger right in my ass to check my prostate.
Well, right. Well, you know, some men really like anal penetration. Some women do, too. It's all okay if it's agreed upon between two partners, okay? But oftentimes women are just not into that, and that's okay. Oftentimes women are into that, right?
But I know a lot of women who are into that.
Yeah, but it has to be done in a spirit of openness, safety, and open hearts.
Now, I have to clarify, though, when I was talking to Gene about the booty, I wasn't so much specifically referring to anal sex. I was just saying that a lot of black men, and I'm generalizing here, but a lot of black men, I was talking about physical attributes. I was saying that a lot of black men like women with, like, meaty booties. You know, if you got, like, the pancake flat type booty, a lot of them brothers ain't feeling that. But Gina was saying that when you get into the zone, the tantric zone, that, you know, the meatiness of the booty should be irrelevant.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So I think I might have gotten way ahead of myself. So,
but, yeah, no, that was good. That was good for you to throw that in there. Hey, I'm going to see if we got a couple calls. Some people call in just to listen. Other people call in to ask questions, make comments. So I'm going to check and see if either they're just listening or, first of all, EVP3, Urban V. Pulliam III in Seattle. Are you just listening or do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I'm listening.
You said, oh, I'm listening. You taking some notes, huh?
I'm ready to go to the bookstore. I'm Harley, if I go to the office in the morning, I'm going to the bookstore. I'm about to be late. I got to bring the percentage up in the U.S. I got to do my part. Going to bring it up. Over 1% anyway. But the question I had, and I know Karen's back now, so the question I had, though, was earlier she didn't mention that she didn't believe that in Cialis and Viagra and those drugs of that nature. So the question I had then is whether Karen then believes and thought then there's no such thing, then that men actually have a medical condition whereby they can have an erection or have problems with that, because there is supposedly men who have some type of medical problem, and they use those drugs to help. So.
Okay, what is your name, hon? I'm sorry.
My name is Irvin.
Hi, Irvin. How are you?
All right. Well, a lot better after this interview.
Oh, good. You know, I'm so happy that you asked that question, and the reason why is because, yes, there are medical/spiritual/emotional changes or things that occur within a man's energy field that will allow him not to have an erection, okay? These are things that we need to pay attention to, Irvin, right?
Okay.
Because, you know what? Maybe your body, maybe what's going on in your life just means that you really need to just not pay attention to that now and give yourself a lot of love. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, I am completely and totally against Viagra and Cialis in any form whatsoever, and it's not because I'm so into holistic medicine and we need to take herbs rather than, you know, Valium if we need it. I'm just very, very passionate about the fact if your lingam is not getting erect, there is something more going on with you physically, and it could have to do with some prostate issues. It could have to do with all sorts of different things. It could be that you've masturbated yourself to so much that, you know, it just can't get hard again. Do you know what I mean? There's all kinds of different forms. There's all kinds of different things that could be going wrong. It's not that it's bad, and I'm not judging it. It just means that it's good to get to the root of the problem rather than taking the drugs, because all you're doing is you're masking the problem with the drugs. And you could go blind, literally. You know, they talk about, you know, in Christianity, you masturbate yourself, you could go blind. Well, you know, you take Viagra and you could go blind, literally.
Viagra can make you blind.
It's not due to masturbation, Irving. It's due to the drug.
Okay.
And thank you for calling. What I would recommend, I don't know where you live, but you know,
Seattle.
You know, you might want to work with a tantrika or a dakini to gain more perspective about that issue. If you are taking Viagra and Cialis, I understand that it may be kind of difficult to talk about those things, but I truly do not believe that.
Well, first of all, Karen, I don't know if Irvin was necessarily referring to himself. He was
asking
in general.
I was asking in general. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Irvin's a very athletic brother who stays in good shape.
Well,
he's a close friend of mine. So
I understand, but just let me clarify for a minute there, Alan. This is a difficult thing for men to talk about because their whole entire life is wrapped around their lingam most of the time, okay? So I'm not saying it's Irvin. I'm just saying that there are other alternatives that you can turn to discover what the problem is, because it could very well be emotional. The reason why that prostate cancer is on the rise is because, you know, the woman's yoni is all wrapped around her emotions. Right, and her heart. If her yoni is not connected with her heart, then there's going to be issues there. A man's prostate is wrapped up in his emotions. So
his prostate
that's why
is wrapped
prostate,
up in
that's
his
why
emotions?
Prostate cancer is on the rise.
Wait, you're going to have to clarify. His prostate is wrapped up in his emotions?
The prostate represents a lot of a man's emotions with regards to his genitalia or his sexual center or his second chakra.
Real.
It's not the lingam, it's the prostate.
Well, that's interesting.
Well this thanks very much, Karen. I know I'm feeling much more like a superhero getting all this new education. I'm definitely going to the bookstore. I'm definitely going to go into some deep research on all this. I'm going to go look for tantra and the chakra and the shock this and that.
Yay, that's great. Well, you know, I'm in Portland, Oregon, and it's not too far from Portland, and I do private sessions.
All right.
That's all I need to hear.
No saying.
Okay, right. Thanks, EVP, for calling in. That's my main man. We known each other since like junior high school. EVP3, always a loyal listener. Now I'm going to take another call. I see 281. 281, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my two guests, Gina Alzati and Karen Armstrong. Are you just listening? You got a question or comment?
Oh, just listening.
Oh, you just listening? Okay. Thank you for listening. The emotions, and I think I might ask a variation of this question already, but I'm asking again. How big a role should one's emotions have in sex? And along with that, what role does good mental health and psychology play in good sex?
Excuse me, could you?
Both of you are like, okay, Alan, I did not understand
here.
That question.
You know
I was
what,
saying,
Alan, I would like to propose something. May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to propose that Gina and I do some sort of series with you so that we can address all these really important questions. Ooh. When we feel...
That sounds kind of kinky. I like
that. Well, no, it's 8:39, and it's been a long day for me, and, the show is from 7 to 8:30, and I would love to do a late-night show with you, and I'm sure that Gina would as well.
Okay, so you guys going to put me in some kind of trance? Is that what you're saying or something?
Well, we could maybe put the whole entire network in a trance.
Okay, well, go for it. Go for it.
Okay, so I want all of you to just breathe. Close your eyes. If you've had French fries and wine for dinner, or if you've had dinner, just close your eyes just for a moment. And breathe. Breathe deep into your lower belly. And bring that energy out. Breathe in. Breathe in love. Breathe out all the negativity of the day, all of the tension from work, from the kids, from the husband, from the girlfriend, from the boyfriend, from not having sex, and breathe deep into your lingam and breathe deep into your yoni. Allow yourself to feel your body. Bring yourself into your body so that you can be present and you can be loving and you can be compassionate with your body, to allow your heart space to open to every listener on this radio program. Just keep breathing. Allow the energy of this vibrational relaxation and movement to take you to a place inside of you where you want to make love to yourself. That is the place you want to come to your beloved or somebody that you want to engage in sexual play with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You need to figure out what's there. Come together with your partner, whether it's your beloved, whether it's your friend, whether it's a one-night stand, spoon with each other. Breathe and see what's there. Be present. You may want to have sex. She may not want to have sex. She may want to have sex, but you may not want to have sex. It's when two people want to engage in sexual play. And allow the energy to take them to these different places. Now, I must also share with you that most men are going to have a hard-on, and that doesn't necessarily mean they need to put that somewhere, okay? What they need to do is take that hard-on and breathe it up into the rest of their body. Visualize it going into their belly, into their heart, into their throat.
Okay,
and
wait. You just lost me. You said picture my heart on going into my belly. That just kind of fucked up my whole visual.
Well, but you want to visualize the energy, Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let you talk. Go ahead. Excuse me.
You want to connect your lingam.
The lingam,
your heart.
The lingam to my heart. Okay.
Next time you try to masturbate, or you do masturbate, connect your lingam with your heart and see what happens.
Wait a minute. Next time I masturbate, connect my lingam with my heart.
Yep, connect that energy with your heart energy, that heart energy that has opened up.
So you saying before I masturbate, I got to open up my heart?
No, you do it during. You be conscious.
I do it
you
during.
You grab that wand of yours, right?
The magic wand.
And you open up your heart.
And open up my heart.
And you open up your mouth and you make sound and you breathe. Well,
I'm glad you said make sound because I didn't know where you were going with that.
Most men are really, really tense when they get a hard on. They tense up, right? And they just want to make it move and make it come. Well, if you relax, and you bring up to your heart and you make sound, but I can go on forever. You want to bring the energy from your voice, from your heart, from your belly and your lingam, and you want to match them up like you would be playing a flute. And you can have ecstatic orgasms, multiple orgasms without ejaculation. I guarantee
multiple
that.
Multiple orgasms without ejaculating.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee that.
Okay, well,
and if you don't believe me, come see me and I'll give you a session and I won't charge you a thing.
Well, me and Irvin will be we'll be in the lobby like, okay, no, we're going to flip a coin, who goes first?
Okay, ladies, I see there's a lot of ladies out there listening. Let's
yeah, they in
you.
The chat room tripping off of that all those sounds you were making.
Well, they could. I'm sure that they could feel it vibrationally.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to let me get.
I don't
straight
know if Gina then. Could. Gina knows. I mean, I'm not being. You know, I don't, whatever. I'm sure you could feel that vibrationally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gina got real quiet.
Yes. A woman can have an orgasm just through her breath and her sound.
Yeah.
Just through
how
her
magic
breath
is
and
that?
Her sound.
And I'm just
yep,
feeling my I'm feeling my vibrations.
Ooh. I like that. I like that.
Woo.
Shoot. Ain't nothing like having a woman on my show feeling her vibrations.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I've got my clothes on.
That makes me feel my vibrations.
I have my clothes on too. So anyway, Alan, when do you want to get together again and have another talk radio show?
Yeah, we're going to have to go deeper into this, you know. Now, I'm still trying. I'm not going to lie. I'm still trying to comprehend that when you say the next time that I masturbate, I got to connect my heart with my lingam. And see, some part of my brain ain't connecting them to it. It's like, man, the heart ain't got shit to do with your lingam, man.
Well, how about this? Because I have got to sign up. How about if you call me and I will walk you through it someday?
Okay. Okay. You're going to have to email me your number, and I'm going to have to call you, and you're going to have to give me a tutorial.
Right.
For sure.
Maybe we could have group masturbation sessions.
Ooh, now you're talking my language. Oh, Lord.
I'm talking about group masturbation sessions using our voice together. Masturbation doesn't necessarily mean
touching yourself.
You just
had to just blow it for me. That's cold. You get a brother excited, y'all like, oh yeah, we all three on the phone, and we just get the vibrational energy going. But Alan, you can't be like stroking your lingam. You gotta just have your clothes on. As a matter of fact, just put on a suit and don't even unzip your pants. Man. Now, I want to learn from you two women. On a serious note, I do. I want to learn because I feel like anything that's going to help me enhance just my overall attitude, because I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but, man, I got a gas and heating bill that just left me so stressed out. So I need to, like, you know, release the stress and all that, because otherwise I'm going to just choke somebody for charging me all this money just to heat my house. Man, but now, how long, let me ask you a little kind of background information. How long have you been into, when did you first, like, get into the whole wanting to teach Tantra? I mean, when did that start for you?
Well, I started about 10 years ago. I started with shamanic healing work, and that's a whole different subject. And in my shamanic healing sessions, men were coming to me, and they were leaving my healing space with full-on erections. They were running. I mean, they hadn't had erections in quite a while, and it's just like they were walking around with an erection, and they thought that there was something magical that I was doing. And there was nothing magical I was doing. All I was doing was I was running my sexual energy, and I was using it to help with my shamanic healing work.
Okay.
So that's when I decided that I needed to teach.
Okay. Now, how did you two meet, you and Gina?
Gina? I'll let you take that one.
Oh, I met her. She was my feng shui space clearing practitioner's teacher about almost three and a half years ago. And then she also got me started on my shamanic work. Yeah, so that's how we met. So she led me to that way, and I went to Portland to see her. And it was a beautiful way to learn a lot of things about the environment, about oneself, energy. Yeah. That's how we met.
In fact, what I will tell you is that what I will share with you all is Gina came to Portland to study feng shui and space clearing with me, and she was an incredibly gifted human being. She had actually shut off her capacity to be a medium before she came to see me, and I encouraged her in the sanctity of my sacred space to explore more of those gifts that she had. And that was a very powerful and a very wonderful and a very humbling experience for me, because she was one of my very first students that had come to me that was so gifted. And then she literally went on her own path to find her own way with regards to her spiritual path, all the while she was working for the Pentagon, which I thought was absolutely amazing. And we just recently reconnected as colleagues.
Yeah, we have a Divine Romance at Sea series that we are putting together, and we would love to have workshops at sea on Tantra.
Workshops? Like what? Like a cruise boat?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Take our
for couples and singles, but we have to have gender balance for that.
Yeah, and then have, you know, go to these wonderful exotic destination places, and while we are at sea, we host a workshop.
Ooh.
Yeah, talk about heightened experience over the water.
Oh, man, that sounds exciting. Now, do any of you two have a book or thinking about writing a book or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm writing a book called Shamanic Tantra, The Art of Soulful Loving Through Conscious Living. I'm also writing a book called When Love Making Becomes Drug Making.
There you go with the lingam and the yoni producing the heroin and the crack. Okay.
And I am presenting in September at the ASEP conference. The ASEP conference is the Association for Sexual Energy Practitioners in Mesa, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of that, we're about running out of time. So, yes, I want you two to both plug your websites and any other useful information you want to provide to my listeners.
All righty. My name is Karen Armstrong. I have www.shamanictantra.com, shamictantra.com. I offer individualized private sessions for men, women, and couples, along with intimacy coaching. I also offer shamanic healing, long-distance healing, and phone consultations.
Okay. And Gina?
I would like to invite everyone to come and join us at holisticlifedesigns.ning, that's NING.com, and it is our community site for Holistic Life Designs, which is just a multifaceted place to be for publishing and broadcasting and teaching. So I invite everyone to come and see the holisticlifedesigns.com, and hopefully we'll see you at our community site.
Yes, and this is
absolutely
a great community, listeners. I'm actually a part of her Holistic Designs name site, and everybody writes me little notes and keeps me encouraged. Well, I want to thank both of you beautiful, articulate women for sharing your knowledge and wisdom with my listeners. It has been a true delight. And matter of fact, listeners, I think me and these two young ladies are going to have a group session as my after set after the show. Because, see, I need to relieve some stress, as I said, from my gas and heating bill. So that's going to be my dessert for the night. But join me next week. I will have Dr. Rachel Ross. She's a up-and-coming sexologist. She's made appearances on a number of television shows, radio interviews, and what we're going to talk about is today's sex education working for teenagers and young adults? Are they getting the knowledge and education related to sex that they need to get to make the right decisions in their life? That will be next Thursday. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And everybody have an enjoyable evening. And remember, it's all about the tantra. It's all about that the breathing, the eye gazing. Read up on tantra. Take care.
She can't find you when we move. Hello, my love, wish you were here. So many things in my heart that I'd like to share. A few warm thoughts, a subtle smile. Our conversation through silence could last all night. Thank you.
Thank you.